what makes him happy. And tonight, I'm going to discuss with you, a terminology that it's given by the Lord. It's called the apostolic shake. It's not a dance. y'all ain't gotta sit up here and think I'm gonna start jigging. that's not what it is. It's not a style of dance. But it is a technology, a spiritual technology given by the Lord. And let me define it first. It is the power of the Holy Ghost inside the believer that aids him in the release of all kind of bondage, whether it's spiritual bondage, social bondage, sensual bondage, bondage in relationships, any kind of bondage. Now, why is it that we would need to be free when we have Christ living on the inside? Well, sometimes we find ourselves in atmospheres that were not assigned to us. Lord, have mercy. I gotta say that again. Sometimes we find ourselves in assignments that were not assigned to us, and this happens because we're still human, and when I say we're still human, for the most part, we still follow after human tendencies. Y'all don't have to say nothing. I know I'm talking the truth. A lot of times we look after things that are familiar, things that feel the same, things that feel comfortable to us, and sometimes we find ourselves in atmospheres that are not assigned to us because they are familiar to us. And so we need an apostolic shaking, because what happens when we step outside of the God-given assignment is that things that are foreign to us, things that are foreign to our culture and our spirituality, sometimes tend to cling to us. Because of the design of God, we are magnets automatically. People are automatically drawn to you. Sometimes you look and you say, Lord, I'm so sick of hearing everybody's problems. I can't deal with my own. But you are designed by God to be a magnet. And the reason why people gravitate to you is because there's an inward release on the inside of you for their deliverance. But it is impossible for us to aid another person in deliverance when we are bound up ourselves. Lord, have mercy. What happens, oh God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Oof, I have to give Pastor Brown this testimony later on. But what happens is that we release a form of godliness to folks when we are operating in a form of godliness. In other words, we say, how in the world could that person get up there and preach and all these other people got free? No, they didn't get free. They just had a form of freedom. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You ain't got to talk to me. The Bible says, like priests, like people. And so whatever they release is what you receive. If it's a form, that's all you have the power to receive is a form. So we look at fallen leaders and people say, oh, well, you have to be careful because these are the ones that prayed for you and these are the ones that did this for you and this is their moment of weakness. But Lord, have mercy. I pray, oh God, that this moment doesn't turn out to be all and complete untruth. In other words, if there is no true deliverance in the life of the followers, the leader has only released a form to them. Denying what? The power of God. The power of God unto salvation. Salvation translated as deliverance is just that. Freedom, liberty. A form of godliness cannot bring you into salvation or deliverance. It can bring you into a dance.
It can bring you into speaking in tongue and falling in the floor. It can bring you into the form, but there is no power in what you do. So the apostolic shake is the Holy Ghost power on the inside of a believer to release them from all types of bondage. The shake means to cause to move with quick or violent vibrations. Vibrations only deal with atmospheres. Sound waves send off a vibration. That's how you hear it, because of the vibration. And so the shaking is a spiritual vibration that goes into the atmosphere, and it releases all type of hindrance. It breaks that thing. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Is everybody with me? Questions? Amen. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you for your power. God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, looking at verse 11, we see here that Christ has given unto his disciples power. He's given unto them their assignment for this moment, and he's released them into their assignment with everything they need to succeed. We see that through the first 10 verses. He says, I've given you power over unclean spirits. And when you go, he says, take nothing for your journey. Everything's going to be supplied. And then we find ourselves here at verse 11. And he says, now whatever city, say whatever city or town you enter, the Bible says, inquire. Lord have mercy. Who in it is worthy? Oh, Jesus. See, this is what I mean when I say we find ourselves in atmospheres that are not assigned to us. So many times we go places without inquiring. Oh, God, have mercy. Just because somebody called you don't mean that there's access for you to go. You've got to inquire who is worthy. You don't cast your precious pearls before the swine. But see, when you don't inquire of the Lord, you will waste your time, talent, and anointing on fools. The Bible, oh God, have mercy. This is good, Jesus. I hear you. The Bible says you cannot waste time. When you have an assignment, you cannot deviate from that assignment. Your success is predicated up on the assignment God has for you. And so from time to time, because things are familiar, we find ourselves in atmospheres that were not assigned to us. And so then we find things that have clinged and cleaved to us. Sometimes we listen to a little too much secular information, and then we wonder how come it's hard for us to understand when we read our word. How come it's hard for us to be able to lift up our hands in the praise when we've been listening to Marvin for a little too long last night? And sometimes we wonder, how did I get to this place of dryness and barrenness? Because you've entered into an atmosphere that was not assigned for you. All things may be lawful, but are they beneficial? Are they assigned to you? You have freedom to go wherever you choose, but is it going to guarantee you success in the kingdom of God? Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy. Worthy of what? We're going to get to that. And stay there till you go out of that city or town. 12 says, and when you go into a household, greet it or salute it. If that household is what?
worthy. If you've inquired and you found out that this household has a passion for something else, for the assignment God has given you, sometimes you go to people who don't fully understand your purpose in their life. And that's fine. As long as they can recognize, as long as you can recognize that they are assigned to you. See, so many times we get discouraged because we put our hand to things that God has never ordained for our life. And so then we feel like God has forgotten us. And then we want to label folks saying, you miss God because I've been working at this thing for so long. When the prophet came and said, let the thing go. No, I can't let it go because I've invested so much time, but it was not attached to your assignment. Oh, God, have mercy. Sometimes we hold on to things because they were so precious to our personal promise. Oh, God, have mercy. To where we don't allow God to give us what he has desired because we won't let go of things we've created ourselves. If Sarah had not banished her Ishmael, oh, Jesus, he would have continued to torment her promise. And for many people, that's exactly what's going on. There's torment for the promise of God because you've not let go of what you've already permitted in your life. And listen to the terminology that you've permitted in your own life, because you have authority and power that whatsoever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. But you've got to do something. It's called the apostolic shake. You've got to utilize the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that when we know not what to pray, the Holy Spirit will make intercession with moans and groans that cannot be uttered, but they're understood by the Spirit of God. And there are times when things will begin to happen in your life and things will begin to happen in your spirit, and your natural mind won't begin to understand the spiritual convulsions because they're sending a vibration through the atmosphere saying, I've got to connect with my destiny. I've got to connect with my Father. I've got to connect with the one that sent me on this assignment because I need understanding. I need clarity. I need freshness. I need a revival. And so there are times when your natural man will not understand where your spirit is leading you because it won't be familiar. Lord, have mercy. It'll be dreams that are uncomfortable. It'll be things that'll challenge you. Help us. 13, if the household is worthy, he says, let your peace come upon it. Peace here is described as freedom from disturbance or agitation. Oh, God, have mercy. Because of the design that God has made us, because of the mold that he's formed us in, we have what we call a peace that surpasses understanding. It is a peace that lets us become free from disturbances. No matter what's going on around us, conditions, situations, financial crises, it doesn't disturb our spiritual sense. It doesn't bring us to the place where we disconnect with our God. And so this peace is valuable to the believer because this peace is what governs our good sense. I'm just talking out of experience for myself because just give me a little testimony. When my father died, I thought within myself that I would be so distraught that I wouldn't know how to think. Can I just be real? I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I used to think that when my father passed, I said, I don't know how I'm going to make it through it because I knew he was getting older. And I said, I don't know how I would deal with it. But when the time came, when the situation occurred, when the conditions were present, the Spirit of God, surrounded me with a peace that my mind could not understand. It was a peace that came from a spirit connection with God. Oh, hallelujah. That is the peace that leads us free from disturbances, free from the disturbance of death, financial poverty. Oh, God, have mercy. This freedom, it frees you from every external condition. Every external condition. And so the Bible says when you find a house that's worthy, he says, let the freedom that I've put on the inside of you come up on that house. Lord, have mercy. What you've got to understand about the house that God will send us to is that God sends us to places that are chaotic, places that are void of him, places that are not comfortable for us, places that put us in a position of whether or not we're going to compromise or we're going to stand in integrity, places that challenge the anointing on the inside of us, places that build our character. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And so then it becomes our call when we find our assignment, whether or not we will release the grace released to us to accomplish the work. Whew. He says, when you find a house that is worthy, he says, let your peace. Whose peace? That means you have the authority and power from God to release on the inside of you what he's released in you. Oh, Jesus. But if it is not worthy, if you've examined it and found it to be a place that will pimp the gifting or let me say pimp my ride. You know folks want to give you a pair, a nice set of diamond earrings and some gaiters to continue to say what they want you to say. Lord, have mercy. I may offend some AME folk, but they some pimped rides. Lord, have mercy. Got a nice house and a nice car, but if you say something contrary to their discipline, contrary to what they want, they'll take you out their house. They'll take you out their car. Lord, see, y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. But see, when the Lord gives you something, ooh, that's another sermon, Pimp My Ride. I'm going to preach that, y'all. That thing is good. That thing is good. Because they're decked out in all this bling bling because they've sold their soul. Jesus. Look at verse 14. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house, do what? Shake the dust off of your feet. Let me explain to you, oh God, the reason why so many folks find apostolic ministry offensive. It's because they've not came into true submission to the nature of God. Listen to what I said, true submission to the nature of God. Because anytime God speaks to us, our flesh is not comforted. Oh, y'all don't have to say nothing. Because your flesh is not saved. When the Lord say fast, guess what your flesh say? Let's go get some chicken. Oh, I'm just talking truth. Every time God tells us something, our flesh is like, I don't know, man. No. Pastor spoke to us on Sunday about stuff we let our eyes see. Some folks still said, I'm going home to watch my show. And they closed their eyes on certain parts. Oh, okay. Lord, help us. Our flesh automatically wars against the things of the spirit. And so when God speaks, it's natural for our flesh to rebel. And so he says, whoever will not receive your words, you've got to understand that wherever you go, you are on assignment. And if they don't receive the assignment, you don't have time to tarry. Why? Because you may have been there to plant. See, you can't worry about when they're going to get watered. You can't worry about when the sun going to shine on them. You can't worry if this cloud is ever going to move. You've got to do what God has assigned you to do, and then you've got to move on. See, the problem is that we linger too long because we understand fleshly. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, I was there and I remember. Let me tell you something. It's good to be able to relate to a person because you say, I've been there, but you've got to show them the deliverance side of being there. We can no longer be enablers for folks' sin simply because we understand humanly. When you stand before God, is he going to say, oh, okay, I understand. Go ahead and go on in. There's a standard of holiness that must be observed. But because of the lack of it being taught, folks continue to live the way they lived because there's never been consequence revealed. Mm-hmm. So you've got to understand your own assignment. And no matter who you're called to, and for the most part, for the most of us, we're called to places that God delivered us from. Amen. Now, listen to what I say when I say true deliverance from. God ain't going to send you to a place that you ain't fully delivered from. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you know you ain't fully delivered, go on and stay at the crack house. Don't go talking to them prostitutes when you used to be a pimp and you ain't fully delivered because you'll find yourself back in business. Lord, have mercy. Now, I'm just being real. I'm being real. You have to go where God has assigned you because that's where your success is. And so he says, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. The dust symbolizes the things that are dead. Dust without the Spirit of God is simply dead clay. It's just dead. It has no life. It has no capability. It's just dry. When the wind blows, it moves. It does absolutely nothing. And so what he says is when you go through this city, you have to shake off every dead thing. Because this is what you have to understand. You are a magnet. So every time you go anywhere, things will attach itself. Good places, bad places. You're a magnet. Things attach itself to you. Let me speak for you once again from my own experience. I'd been hearing music my entire life, but the only type of music I heard was the old school, you know what I mean? And that's the way I sung. I sung the way it was portrayed to me. It wasn't until I was in a different atmosphere and heard something different and challenged my capabilities, okay, to where I realized I had the ability to do something else. When I came to Charleston, Charleston attached itself to me vocally. And so when I go back to Oklahoma, people say, you don't sound like the Kenneth that came from here. Because something attached itself to me. It was a good thing, praise the Lord. It was a new sound. And so wherever you go, things attach themselves to you because you are a magnet. And so what he says is when people don't receive the assignment, then you've got to cut them off. Why? Because the work is dead for you. Listen to what I said now. You're done. Say, I'm done. See, somebody needs to declare that to themselves. You've done what you were assigned to do. It was not received. They didn't want it. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's move forward. Because I can no longer allow these dead things to attach themselves to me because I don't have the strength to carry dead things.
I don't have the power to carry dead things. Dead things keep us in bondage. Dead things keep infestation and disease. Dead things keep viruses. Dead things keep things that will make other things dead. And so you cannot allow yourself to let dead things continually attach themselves to you. So what he says is you've got to shake. Now, how do you shake folks off that you done been with for years? Oh, Jesus. How do you shake off a brother and a sister? Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me. How do you shake off somebody that's connected? That's conniving and working in witchcraft, but they go by the title of your mama's name. How do you detach yourself? Oh, Jesus. It's not by your own will or physical power. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean that you no longer love the person, but what it means is they no longer have influence on your decisions. I ain't got to come to your house to eat dinner no more. Some folk got dinner keeping them in bondage. Forget your chicken and mashed potatoes. I'll go to Golden Corral. Hallelujah. Shake off the dust from your feet. Verse 15 says, assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of judgment than for that city. Lord, have mercy. In other words, when God sends you on an assignment, he sends you to a place that he's prepared for the ministry in you. Mm-hmm. But when a person is consistently wanting to rebel against God, you might be the one that they cuss out. Oh, y'all ain't got to say nothing. You might be the one that they gossip and lie on. I like how Elder Wright calls it. He calls gossip demonic chatter. They might be the folk that's chattering about you in a demonic tone. You might be the person they spread lies upon, but the end result is they've denied God. And the Bible says that God will turn them over to a reprobate mind, them that would rather believe a lie than the truth. And he says it'll be more tolerable for the folks that were at Sodom and Gomorrah than for the ones that I have prepared a way of escape, and they deny it. See, what happens is because we are human, we feel for folks. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. And so humanly, we make allowances. Mm-hmm. But we cannot afford to compromise our assignment and the agenda of God because we can feel what you are saying. The reality of it is that you need to be submitted to God just like I have to be submitted to God in order for his purpose and destiny to be fruitful in our life. Lord, have mercy. Now, that was with some folk that, you know, just out there. Let's talk about some folk that's in the church. Go to Acts. Help us. 13th chapter. Apostolic shake. If you recall, in the beginning of the book of Acts, the Lord told the disciples to go to a place that he would show them, and he told them to wait for the promise that would come.
And the Bible says they were all praying on one accord, and then suddenly came the Holy Spirit like a wind, a mighty rushing wind, and there were cloven tongues of fire, but there was a shaking. That same power that descended at that moment shook them free from tradition and religious rituals. It set them free from mama saying, why are you following this new movement? Oh, see, for some of us, our family has become one of the biggest hindrances in us moving forward in God. I ain't got to have nobody say amen. I can talk for my own. Because they remember when we clubbed together. They remember who bought the weed and who rolled the joints. They remember the drinking contest. They remember who passed out first and who passed out last. And so when we move into truth, because of our human connection, we are how their influential stories to dictate how far we'll move in God. Because we don't want to be called the uppity one. Oh, Lord, see. And the reason why we don't want to be called the uppity one is because we done called others uppity in the family. They think they all that because they got a little bit of change. Oh, Lord, y'all don't want to say nothing now. Yeah, because they got that new car. They think they ain't nobody. And so now we see God moving us to a place of freedom. Folks that are in bondage are always jealous of other folks' freedom. If you financially bound, most of the time folks is upset with folks that's financially free. Oh God. I wonder what they had to do to get that. Pay their bills on time. Lord Jesus, help us. I'm talking right. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes our family becomes one of the biggest hindrances to the movement of God because we don't want to be labeled amongst the folks that we know as somebody that they can no longer identify with. Oh, come on. Everybody needs somebody sometime. You always want somebody to be able to identify with you. That's human. But God has not called us to a humanistic mentality. In other words, he gives us the power to shake off human alliances that compromise our assignments. Did you hear what I said? That compromise our assignments. Mm-hmm. Are you at Acts chapter 13? We see here that Paul and Barnabas are called and appointed by the church to go and teach and preach. After praying and fasting, the church says, the Holy Ghost has revealed to us the assignment for Paul and Barnabas. And he says to them, go ahead and do what God's called you to do. And what they do is they go to the leaders first. And they say, this is what the Lord says, leaders. And the leaders say, oh, that's good. Just paraphrasing. You can read it when you get home. And they say, as a matter of fact, that's so good. Come back and preach it on Sunday when the crowd is here. Read it. I want to show you something. Show you how church folk could try to set you up. And so when the multitudes come, the leaders get a little jealous. They say, wait a minute. This much folk don't come to church when we preach. Read it. You'll see. See, a little jealousy set in. And so when they begin to declare the same truth, the leaders got up and started to blaspheme. It's false. It's fake. They're a liar. When they had plenty opportunity to dispute them amongst those that were mature, they chose an audience of folks that had not yet come into maturity. Because they were looking for some weak-minded people to stand on their side. They were looking for a crowd behind them to say, wait a minute, these folks have not been called by God. The elders and the apostles made a mistake when they sent these two to the church. I want you to read that now. So we find Paul and Barnabas here. And they continue to do what God has assigned them to do. Look at 49. And the word of the Lord was beginning spread throughout all the region. But the Jews, these were the leaders who were upset at the multitudes that believed, stirred up the devout and prominent women. Oh, God, have mercy. Let me tell y'all something. And I tell y'all something that happened to me today. One of the women at my job. And this just goes along with this. She asked me a question about my coworker or something. And, you know, I said something to the fact that, I don't know, I think the guy's her friend or something. And she goes to the girl, oh, I heard your boyfriend left. At least Kenneth told me he thought he was your boyfriend. I said, wait a minute. How in the world did I get mixed up and you wanting to be nosy? So the Jews went to the women that they know are nosy. Went to the women that will get on the telephone as soon as you leave the house.
Thank you, sir.
They went to the ones that they knew had influence by their words. If you want to know the story, you need to call Sister So-and-so. Because if she don't know, she going to find out before the week is over. That's what she'll tell you. And so the religious leaders, this is so weird. The religious leaders went to folks. They went to folks that gossip to try to discredit the apostles of God. And I said, Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me. These folks already had a level of influence. Mm-hmm. But they were not assigned. That God had not given them an assignment. And so when the apostles came and they saw that they were having success in their assignment, they got jealous. Jealousy will cause an individual to miss out on their own destiny because they're looking at somebody else's. We've got to get out of this I'm next mentality, because you may not be. That'll preach. Building up people with false hope, false security. So they see another person's destiny and they see them coming into it, but you may not be in that part of the process yet. You may not be to that level of maturity yet. And so you still got to endure some things. And so because of jealousy, they stirred up, they intentionally spoke falsehood to prominent folk that had influence. The Bible even says the chief men of the city, elected officials, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Persecution is not an external fight. It's an internal fight. Persecution comes from folk that dance next to you, that shout and fall on the floor behind you. Persecution comes from folk that's in the house. And the Bible says that they even against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from their region. 51. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them. See the apostolic shake. How is it, Father, that I can release myself from a church that I've been in for all these years? How do I release myself from the place that gave me a license? Y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. Because this black boy right here was licensed in a Baptist church, but I guarantee you another one wouldn't do the same thing if they see me now. How do you release yourself from the folks that gave you a voice? Ooh, are y'all listening to what I'm saying? How do you release yourself from folks that gave you power and authority to do? How do you release yourself from folks that made you the head intercessor when you really should have been sitting down being taught? How do you release yourself from folks that prostituted and pimped your gifting? Just let me say something. Anytime you are involved in a soul tie, your mind, your will, and your emotions wraps itself around that person. And there are times when we encounter folks that have soul ties with ministries. Their mind, their will, and their desires are all wrapped up in something that doesn't love them back. Something that didn't have their interest at heart. Something that didn't teach them their God-given assignment. How do they get free? Well, Paul and Barnabas knew who they were. The Bible says that they shook off every dead thing. That's fine. You want to talk about me now that I found something else? That's fine. I'll shake that off. I don't have to call you for advice anymore. Because you believe I'm in error anyway because I done moved on from you. You don't like the fact that God has moved me into another place of maturity. And so now you're going to badmouth me while I'm gone. But that's okay because with the power of the Holy Ghost, I can shake off all them dead works. Because they didn't profit me nothing in the first place. They were unfruitful in the first place. They didn't bring me deliverance anyway. And so now I can shake that mess off. All the naysayers and the gossipers, it's okay. You can talk about me now that I'm gone. Because I'm in a place where I'm fulfilling destiny. Bible says they left the region after they were kicked out. But it says they came too. Hallelujah. Every time folks put you out and you are in your God-given assignment, God allows you to came too, come in too. Lord, have mercy. Because what God has for you, it is for you. It don't matter what nobody got to say. It don't matter what they try to do. What God has assigned for you, it is for you. Baby, I don't care if, oh, Lord, have mercy. If God wants you, if God wants your chicken in the back room, he'll move everybody else's chicken out the way to make sure they can taste yours. When God has something for you, I don't care who's in the kitchen now. When it's your turn, it's your turn. Wish my apostle was here. Because there were many folks. Still are. That say, how did this fat boy get this position? Because it was God's assignment. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I was here before he got here, baby. That's okay. But what God had for this boy's assignment, I had to fulfill. For God to be pleased, I have to do what he's assigned me to do. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you dislike it. God anointed me and my apostle appointed me, and I will do the will of my Father. I will do the will of my Father. I will do the will of him that sent me. God sent me all the way from Oklahoma to Charleston, a place I did not know, to fulfill destiny. And no devil in hell or nobody that's a gossiper will turn me from my assignment. My old mom and daddy couldn't turn me from the call of God. Baby, you ought to come back home with your family. No, my family are them that do the will of my Father. I love you, but not more than my God. I respect you, but I don't respect your opinion about my God's assignment. Oh, Jesus, you've got to learn how to utilize the power of the Holy Ghost to shake yourself from every dead thing that attaches itself to you. All dead advice, dead opinions. Folks whose opinion you used to love to hear because it was what directed you. But now you see that opinion, because of jealousy, because of envy, has started to turn. Shake them rascals off. It's no longer fruitful. Shake off the dead work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm done. Oh, Jesus. Just look at somebody and say, shake it off. Come on, look at somebody and just say, shake it off. Shake it off. Oh, Jesus. Father, have mercy. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. I feel some energy right there. Woo, Jesus, you got to shake some stuff off so you can come into the assignment of God. Hallelujah. The reason why some folk is still looking saying, I still don't know what I'm supposed to do, is because you ain't shook off what you wasn't supposed to have. Shake it off. Stuff is blinding you from what God has destined for you because it's not your assignment. Take your eyes off of it. Take your eyes off of that son. Take them off of that daughter and put them on where God has assigned you. Jesus. I'm determined to move forward in my assignment. Releasing every obligation for the assignment of God. I will not compromise my assignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I'm glad you're already standing, because we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, if I could articulate what I sense and what I feel, have mercy. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Father, we thank you. God, because we can feel you shaking on the inside of us.
God, we can feel things in the atmosphere breaking loose, God, and breaking off. God, we can feel ourselves coming into destiny. And Father, tonight we say thank you, God, because you've released us from all dead work, Father. You've released us, oh God, from everything that's been unfruitful. Father, you have released us tonight, God, from everything that has been a hindrance to your call, a hindrance to the ministry. God, we thank you tonight because you've set us free. You've set us in a freedom, God, from all disturbance. God, we thank you tonight, God, because of your power on the inside of us. Father, we thank you because we know that where your spirit is, oh God, there is liberty. And God, we thank you for your Holy Ghost on the inside. God, we thank you that we're free from all type of bondage. Thank you that we're free from tradition. Thank you that we're free from religious rhetoric. God, thank you that you've set us free. Hey God, thank you that you've set us free, oh God, from the opinion of others. Oh, hallelujah. God, thank you that you've set us free. Oh, yes, Jesus. Thank you that you set us free, God, from the influence of false fathers and false mothers. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you that you set us free from every lie and every gossiper. Thank you, Father, that you have set us free. Lord Jesus, in whom the Son of God sets free, is free indeed. God, we thank you that no more chains, no more bondages, no more shackles, no more fetters. God, no more. God, we thank you that nothing else holds us captive except for your Holy Spirit, God. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, we decree and declare that we are what we are by the grace of God. God, that we will follow you, Father, wholeheartedly, God, totally submitted to your cause and to your agenda. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody shout amen. Come on, say, so be it, so be it, so be it, so be it, so be it. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah, man, shut up. Hey, Jesus, hallelujah! Hey, God, hallelujah! 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, I thank you. Yes, Lord, I thank you.